بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. It was the style of Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh that he would undertake a safar and the elders that were regarded as the elders at the time, he would meet them. Most of them were his contemporaries, and he was elder in age than most of them, or many of them. But that superiority in age didn't prevent him. Though overall he was more well known, more recognized. In every sphere he was more recognized. But that wouldn't prevent him now. I'm going to meet my contemporaries, take the du'as, show them respect. So that was his style, he'll show them respect, take the du'as, and then undertake a journey. Perhaps one of the reasons may have been is وَلَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّوا. Iman is imperfect without showing love. So bonding with the ulama, pious of the time, meeting them is one way to show love. And many a times, these small actions, we count them as small things. What's so big about it? If someone made zikr, or he had a good dream, or he engaged in some type of practice in tasawuf, so he considered himself, and people consider himself as great. But these sunnahs, then we don't count them to be so serious. Now this extremism is not right. This is also important. This, what they are teaching in tasawuf is also important. But obviously the sunnahs of Nabi Sallam is the greatest, that's the goal. So people go into one extreme or the other. And this extremism is not right. Try and understand. If you don't understand it, sit, ask, find out, inquire. But a month ago someone passed away, some Suhail Desai. So he passed away in a motor car accident. So a few days ago, his one friend saw him in the dream. So he was asking. Now his friend's habit was to, in our colloquial words, say, jack him up to keep a proper beard. So now and then he would swim a little bit, but with that constant jacking up, he kept a full beard. Now the man is passed away. As he passed away, so his friend is seeing in the dream, is very happy. Number two, is wearing full white, according to the hadith, is an indication of a jannati, right? Very happy, and he's telling his friend, it saved me. This is the thing that saved me. What we take as likely, small, the sunnats, really, they are things that Allah Ta'ala likes, He loves. Someone said, ظاہر تو ہم نے بنا دی باطن تو ہی بنا دے. اللہ تعالیٰ, we tried, outwardly we tried to rectify ourselves. Allah Ta'ala, you rectify the heart as well. What we could do in our broken way, we did that. So I was explaining Azadji Rahmatullah Alayh, the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and what was the style, what was the relationship. So the relationship goes back right from the time they were studying. So Mufti Sahib is in one room in Deoband, and Hazrat Ji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh is in another room. And Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Alayh made known to Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi that I have got Khilafat from Hazrat Muwathanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi. The Mufti Sahib said, he became a bit apprehensive and he says, now, not going to joke, now I'll show the respect like how I'll show to my elder. Hazrat said, no, you have to keep the same relationship. No, I can't. Before I used to joke, but now that a senior buzurg of the time has conferred khilafat to you, so I'm not going to show you the same level of informality. Now I'll show all my respect. See the relationship. See the understanding. So these people, they progress like these small things. What we consider as insignificant and small, but how would they view it? Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi came down to the room of Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi and called for him. It was all of confidence, trust. And Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi is really worried now. He's very, very worried. So Mufti Sahib asked him, but what concerns you? What makes you so worried? So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi replied, yesterday whilst I was in my dream, I was making mutala of a kitab. So I was just telling the Dora boys, we came across one hadith, you know, today, that Umar radiallahu anhu was sitting in i'tikaf, and he heard a loud sound of takbir. Everybody is reciting takbir at one and the same time. So he inquired, the sound of takbir, where is it and why is it? So it was brought to his attention that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had freed all those slaves at Hawazin. You know, the people that were enslaved at Hawazin, he had freed them all. So Umar radiallahu anhu commanded that this slave also just free him or free her. Now, on one occasion, the Mustafa says that in my dream I'm seeing, that I'm pondering now in my dream that I want to see all the ahadis which says that the Sahaba-i-Kiram had recited the takbir collectively loudly. So the one hadith that came in my mind, when Nabi Sallam was at Arqam's place and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had accepted Islam, and then the Sahaba-i-Kiram in gratitude they shouted takbir. The takbir was echoed right to the haram. And this was the second occasion. So there may be several other occasions. But I'm explaining the class, what must be the level of these people's attachment, the love, affinity with hadith, in the dream also they think hadith. And trying to, in the dream, try to work out that on which occasions was the takbir sounded, and sounded loudly. So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi is coming down to Al-Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi's room. And he says, you know what? Last night I saw a dream. In my dream, I was making mutala of a kitab. Now see, Hazrat, where his mind is. They say, Billi ke khab mein chichre. Cat, what he sees in the dream? Scraps of meat, here and there. What do you think about scraps? And in the dream also it's seen the same. What we see. Similar as a braai and this and that. Our mind is on that. Charcoal, braai. I don't say salam bhai. But now I'm showing you these people's minds, where their minds were. Minds were elsewhere. See, you have an affinity, you have a love, you have a relationship with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then your dream also you see these type of things. But for that, I just mentioned to one of Mulana that you need two things. You need your heart to be clean all the time, 24 hours. Your heart needs to be clean, 24 hours, clean. So he's asking me why. What's the relationship? So I explained. See, the heart is the receiver. It's the receiver of the tajalli, that help and the special assistance, the nur, etc. is coming from above, right? Yahdi linurihi man yasha. So this nur, how do you receive it full? When do you become eligible fully for this nur? To the extent of the purity of the heart. Because the heart is, you can compare the heart to a mirror, right? But imagine the mirror has been covered with a cloth. Can it receive? Or it's dirty right through. Spots and all. Can you receive it properly? Maybe receive it in patches, but you will receive it correctly. So heart is like that receiver. So when the heart is like that receiver, then to the extent of the clarity of the heart will be the reception. So now how important it is for the salik or for the talib ilm, student or the salik, to ensure that the heart is clean all the time. Because you are dependent. You are dependent on that special Yahdillahu li nurihi man yasha. So Allah says, I give it to who I want. But you want it, then you come clean. قَدَ فْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. You will clean the thing. You clean, you purify, you rectify it. I will send it. I will grant it. But you see that you're doing your work. Don't worry about anything else, what he's doing and what that person is doing. Yes. Your heart, think about your heart and what's your heart like. How clean it is, see. So I was explaining to the students. This Muri Ilyas is here, Muri Ilyas. The ladies are telling me in the morning that the Imam is making a mistake. I was correcting him, but he's not accepting my correction. Nice to hear from the small children, isn't it? Where their minds are, see where the hearts are. The hearts are in something else. Allah Pak, Namaz, Zikr, Quran Sharif. Isn't that a good sign? So this heart must receive the most. See, the whole body is activated through the heart. The heart is right, then the blessings come from above, and the entire body is activated. But the heart is not right, then that nur can't come from above. And if it comes, then you can't receive it correctly. So you don't find the motivation, you don't find the action thereafter. So this has to be cleansed and cleansed all the time. So I was explaining to some students this week. See, sometimes we engage in ghibat, or that ghibat may be sometimes verbal and sometimes mental. Mental is we have a low opinion, we have a bad opinion of a person. But sometimes it's in the mind. It's revolving in the mind. And sometimes it is being echoed by the tongue. But both are ghibat. See, our mashayikh say it in this way. Bad gumani and bad zubani. What? Bad gumani and bad zubani. That the mind must be clear and the tongue must be clear. Sometimes the heart in Urdu, they refer to the mind. Right? English also, they say mind. But in Arabic, the same word is for the heart. Right? So, bad gumani and bad zumani. Now, but I ask the students, you know, if you are having a low opinion, suspicion about a person, one is your dealings. Your dealings must be such, you deal with the person as though you are suspicious. See, understand it. Al-hazmu su'uz-zan. Hadith says, al-hazmu su'uz-zan. Intelligence, what it is, that when you're dealing with someone, then you do as though you don't have a high regard for the person. So what does it mean? It means that the dealing is documented right. All the paperwork is done. So tomorrow you don't have a dispute. Now you don't document the thing, you don't have witnesses to it, right? And when there's a problem, I say, you know, but we had a relationship for 40 years and 50 years, and now that whole relationship is broken down, it's cracked. But then what stopped you from documenting, recording? Well, we trusted each other, we said Bismillah. But Allah Bak said, the same Bismillah, Allah Bak said, when you are transacting, then faktubu, reduce it to writing. Transactions related to, you know, future obligations, etc., debts, future obligations, then you must reduce it to writing. Allah Pak himself is saying. So when you're dealing with a person, then as though you don't know him. Right? So you don't have a good opinion. Now, not that you don't have a good opinion, but you are treating him, you are dealing like that. So dealing is a different thing. Right? And having an opinion is a different thing. You have a good opinion, but when you're dealing as though you don't have a good opinion about the person. Hazrat Fatima bint Qais, radiallahu anha. So, she was now receiving proposals. As she is receiving proposals, so Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is instructing her that you don't take a rash and a quick decision in confirming anything. Don't be quick. La tufawwitini. Don't just take a quick decision. A lot of times, now, because it's a fast age we're living in, and so no, I love the person, and I know, and I won't be able to live without him and all that. 2 months in the marriage, I can't live with him. Before the marriage, 2 months before the marriage, I can't live without him. 2 months after the marriage, I can't live with him now. You're getting these cases coming up. So, what is our teaching? Our teaching is by, you got elders, family, parents, etc. Go and discuss with them. Because the understanding is more, greater. And when the understanding is better, they have seen life, they understand life, they've got experience. So they will tell you what is in your interest. 99%, it's possible 1% they make a mistake. But because of the 1% mistake, you don't rule them out. So Nabi Sassam asked her, don't rush up in taking a decision about yourself. So she comes and says to Nabi Sassam, Ya Rasulullah, I have received 2 proposals. One from Abu Jahm. And the other was from Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu. So Nabi Sam declined both the proposals. So Abu Jahm, he's a little bit hot-headed. You know, he's short-fused. La yazal wa sa'u ala atiqihi. His stick is always here. It's kabhi marta hai. And you'll be able to manage it. Right? He's got a right to hit for a valid reason, right? He's got a right. But you won't be able to manage that man. See, we don't understand cultures, right? There are some nationalities, I know personally, because those people come and talk to me, right? See, our wives like a man, they can hit also. It activates them. You know, he is a strong man. But he's very soft, well, they don't like that. They don't like that approach. So because we don't understand diverse cultures, we don't appreciate these type of things. It's not one way, what we read in the papers, what we listen to the media, that's the standard. Now there is a different culture out there. And you're not aware of the culture. But now, Fatima, Nabi Sam says, no, you won't be able to manage with this person. Because you're coming from a certain standard. You're a Qurayshi, brother Dhahak ibn Qais, you are different. You won't be able to get along with this person. Then you're talking of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Then Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, there's no problem with him, but he doesn't have that financial strength. Now, as I'm explaining this hadith, the Muslim declined the offer. Right? So one student now, he's asking, doesn't the hadith say that you should marry, and even if you're poor, Allah Ta'ala will see you right? So now I have to silence the person straight away, because I could see another background. It's a university student that he's talking about. I can see how he's talking. I can't give a proper detailed answer, but for that moment I have to just quieten him. He says, you know what? If you receive a proposal from the jondur for your sister, will you accept it? No. Straight away. You receive a proposal for your sister from the jondur, will you accept it? Straight away, no. So why so quick? Now, that reality doesn't strike you straight, then you don't realize the seriousness. You don't understand the seriousness. Now, that hadith which speaks about you'll get wealth when you marry is a different thing. Now, Nabi Sam understands this Fatima, and he understands Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And straight away she may not be able to just adjust, right? It may take some time. She's coming from a standard, and he's at a different level. And straight away, he may not, the promises of Allah Ta'ala are 100%, but sometimes it takes time for things to materialize. So anyway, Nabi Sam turned both the proposals down. Then Nabi Sam suggested, alright, in kihi, ya an kihi, Usama. Now Usama radiallahu anhu, his father was an Arab, right? So his fair complexion. It was Zaid, but his mother was a black. So Usama was born black skinned. Now so on the one side, Usama radiallahu anhu's father, although he was an Arab, but he was treated as a slave because he was bought as a slave. Wrongfully or rightfully, but he was bought as a slave. So now he was already endorsed as a slave. So the son of a slave. So now in social circles, it doesn't have a good taste. We got married to, oh, this one here, oh, that slave son. So it doesn't leave a good mark. So because of that, first they did not accept the proposal, although it came from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But Nabi Sallallahu instructed for the second time, get married to Usama. Fatima then accepted. So now she understood that it wasn't just a request, it was an instruction. First it was just a suggestion. But now when it's a command, then مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ. Now you don't have a choice. So she accepted the proposal. But then she says, ثُمَّ أُغْبِطُ. Then I was envied after that. Such a beautiful man, such a... Well, the skin was quite different. But what a beautiful person he was. Splendid. The whole Medina used to be envious about me. So we are talking of Hazraji Rahmatullah Ali, and we're talking of the dream. In his dream, he's seeing that he's studying a kitab, very engrossed. So in the meanwhile, in the dream, he hears a knock on the door. So now he's so engrossed that he can't pay attention to the person that's coming in. So the person may have greeted whatever, and when he greeted, then Hazraji Rahmatullah looked towards the person that's entering the house or entering the room, and he saw it was Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hey, now you got a shock, what am I doing here? Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was here, and he was knocking at the door, and then I didn't pay attention to him. So he got very concerned about that. So this concern he went and expressed to Hazrat Mustafa rahmatullahi alayhi, okay, this was my concern, this is my concern, this is what happened. How could I have ever done such a thing? So Hazrat Mustafa rahmatullahi alayhi, I'm showing you the levels of this Buzurganadin, but what respect they showed. See, they became what they became largely because of the respect. Largely because of the regard they had. Friendship is one thing, but now what respect you need to have to be able to draw. See. So Mustafa Rahmatullahi comforted Hazari and said, don't worry. Hazari is really disturbed. You can see now he's crying, he's disturbed. Students, both are students. So Mustafa is giving him the comfort, don't worry. Inshallah, aaj raat phir ziyarat ho jayegi. Inshallah, khoob, achhi tarah se ziyarat ho jayegi. You will get to see Nabi Sam again. You will see him with a lot of joy and happiness, you will see. And true, it happens. Now the next day he came, and he's too excited. So anyway, we accompanied Mustafa rahmatullahi alayhi. And it was his style, I said, as he's going, undertaking a safar, then he will meet the seniors, Buzurgan ad-Din, Ulama'i Kiram, Mashayikh, take the duas and leave. Now, we are there, and at times, Hazraji Rahman would say, Mustafa rahmatullahi, come and sit next to me, on the carpet that I sit, right? So normally, in India it happens, that carpet is reserved for the Buzurg. When it's reserved for him, then nobody else sits on that. Right? So Mustafa Rahmatullah was a little bit hesitant. He said, no, mera amr hai. This is my command, you come and sit here. Now, Mustafa always respected him as though he's his elder. So he sat. And when he said, mitti ke dher ko jahan bhi chahe bitha de, chahe yahan bitha de, chahe wahan bitha de, koi farq to hota nahi. It's a heap of sand. Wherever you want to seat the heap of sand, seat him, but it doesn't make a difference. Whether you seat him here, whether you seat him there, it doesn't make a difference. Alright, that all happened, that was one side of it. Then he said, Betakal batale kya piyoge? It's a little bit of hot, not very hot day. Sab hazir, chai, whatever you want, everything is available, but just say what you want. So kuch nahi, bas thanda pani. The water came in. Then Hazrat ji gave some advice. We are students now. So now Hazrat is giving advice. He says, talaba ke liye, students, then he says, hadith, la tahqiranna min al ma'rufi shayan. That small deeds also, don't count it as small. Little deeds, don't count it as insignificant. You don't know, that may be the catalyst to your jannah. Like this man passed away now, not even a month, right? And already the results are coming out with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, that he's holding his beard, and he's announcing, see, this thing here, it saved me. He's mentioning it to the friend that encouraged him to keep a beard. And this thing here, it saved me. See that? So this, what we count small, right? So it's not small. At least, appear as a Muslim. We can't say that we are good. Because who can say he's good? But the least we can do is we're happy, we rejoice, we are grateful to Allah Ta'ala that He's given us Islam. We don't feel ashamed of our Islam. So we'll show it why? Not to boast, but as a token of appreciation, Allah, you blessed me with Islam, I will show it. Although my tuta puta, I'm broken down, I'm beyond repair, I know that. I'm total non-entity, but the least I can do is show my Islam at least, as a token of appreciation, not to be proud and not to be boastful. You know, they talk about the Tatari revolution, right? And they talk about the Tigris, Dajla, right? There was the largest massacre that took place there. The massacre was of that proportion. You know, the Tigris so big. At that time, they used to say the Euphrates and the Tigris were about the biggest of rivers in the world. Right? But those bodies that were massacred, Muslim bodies, were thrown into the Tigris. The flow of the water had stopped. The color had changed. So you couldn't see a Muslim around. Right? So the fear was such. It's a long story, but this part of the story I wish to share with you. So, one Buzurg that was walking past that area, he called out the Azan. When he called out the Azan, so now these Tatars that are non-Muslims, they had taken control. So he said, who is this person that is shouting? Just apprehend him, bring him. So he brought him. So what you were doing? So now this talking, then he gave him a da'wat of Islam. So he says, alright, when you see me in a very senior position, now he's perhaps a prince or something, and you see me in the position of a king, then come to me. And in a few years, the father died, so the prince had to be in the place of the father. Now he came in, as a fulfillment to the promise. But before this had taken place, this is what I want to share, before this had taken place, so this prince is asking that Buzurg, what is better, your beard or this beard of this sheep or this goat, what's better? So this Buzurg said, no, I'll delay the answer. He delayed the answer. He says, see, if I die as a Muslim, then definitely this beard is better than the beard of your goat. But otherwise, this thing is better than me. He was really thrilled with the answer. So what he understood, that it's not just the name. It is the deed that goes with Islam. It's not just the name. We think, no, it's just the name. No, no. It's the deed that supports that Islam. So the least we can do is at least look like Muslims, behave like Muslims, right? Conduct ourselves as Muslims. That we're not an embarrassment to Islam. In any way, you're not an embarrassment. I saw one girl who was talking, flirting around. The people are watching, they're watching. You're going in a plane, you're talking to the hostess. How are you? Where you come from? What's your address? What's your name? So I asked the students, you're doing all these type of things. But tell me truthfully, if you saw an 89-year-old lady, you'll ask, what's your name? Where you come from? How are you? Will you ask all this stuff? But why deliberately that young girl, why must you ask all these things here? That means, dil mein chor hai. There's a thief inside here. You want to know? I'm just going to know her, invite her towards Islam. That 89-year-old lady, she is more needy. because she may just go into the grave just now. She is more in need of Islam than this one here. But there is something that you are, that attracts you towards this one here. Actually, you are nuts. Now people are watching what you're doing. You think nobody will. This thing is a cool conversation. They know what you're doing. They may not tell you anything because they can't tell you. So you see, in order to receive from above, this heart has to be very clean. And sometimes our minds have the better over ourselves. How? That we begged by this person here, talk ill of this person here, or have evil thoughts about the person. For one of two reasons. One is to appease ourselves, right? To make ourselves look greater in the eyes of people. I'll talk about him, run him down. So at least mentally I feel that I'm still better. I'm still far better than him. But I ask you, boy, as it is that person went down, right? Now, he went down, what was the business, what business you had to bring yourself down? He lost out, why are you losing out? Or he fell down, but now you keep circulating the story as though you are trying to impress upon people, I'm still good, he's a loser. Right? That's one reason. And the second thing that happens when you make ghibah like this, what happens, is that you get stagnated. Because I'm still better, man. This person here, he drinks, man. That person, he looks at girls, I don't do this thing here. So then it stagnates you. Now you can't progress, because you're comparing yourself with him, and in the comparison you are showing that I'm better, that I don't do these things here, so therefore I'm better, right? So I ask you, are you progressing or are you going backwards? And if you're not going to be having evil opinions about the person, not talk bad about the person, overall what's going to happen is you think, amen, all these people are progressing, he's doing this and he's going to that jamaat and he's making this sacrifice, what am I doing? When you're not going to be talking evil of others, then you will think like this, but everybody's doing it. He's coming early to the masjid. I see man is parking in the masjid, he's making one sipara every day. What am I doing? So when you look at it from a different perspective, you feel there's still a lot of room for you to do. So you will go forward. But the moment you're going to talk about others, you will feel, now I'm ahead in the race. That's what that will give you some complacency. You can't progress after that. See the importance of keeping a clean mind all times. At any given time, a Muslim needs this. And more so the salik and the student. The student and the person that is in suluk, both of them need it. They need to keep their minds very clean at any time, spotless. At any given time, spotless. One person came to complain, Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, I've got reservations about this person here. This person here, I've got reservations. So now look how he's a mujaddid, a revivalist, right, of tasawuf. But then how he keeps a check on himself. If he's reached that level, do you think that he feels complacent? No, he doesn't feel complacent. See what he says. He says, I also had some thoughts about the person, but I thought to myself that it's on account of my weakness that I'm seeing the person bad. It's the weakness of my heart that I'm not seeing him right. So, as though his heart, he didn't compromise, he didn't risk his heart. He took the whole guilt to himself and kept his heart clean against that person. So, I ask you, is a win-win situation. You say win-win. So, this is a win-win situation. And you're putting money everywhere else, you can't say win and lose. Now, I don't know how many people this week are talking about. It's 2 weeks. Say, there's London investments. We don't know what's going to happen. When is it going to crash? Now, I think whatever is happening there, and now they're worried, now, hey, win-win or not, win-lose, win-lose, win-lose. It's a seesaw situation. So everything else you do is win or lose. But when you're bargaining with Allah Ta'ala, it's win-win situation. But the condition is by keep your minds clean at any given time. Tongue and mind at any given time. Just keep it clean. Don't risk it. Sometimes to rectify the slips of the tongue may take an entire year. Lifetime. But you can't just rectify it. You made a slip of a tongue, now to rectify it, to retract becomes very difficult. It just left. Now you think it's easy to retract, to rectify. It's such a difficult thing. That's why I say many a time, by today it seems that Jannat Allah Pak made easy nowadays. You get your eyes and your tongue right. Get your eyes right and your tongue right, Inshallah, I have ummeed in Allah Ta'ala that you got your passport, inshallah. But at any given time, eyes and tongue, just look after. At any given time. Anything that you feel apprehensive, hey, I can't look at this thing here. You know, I tell the students, before I should just look at the registration and make salam like this. And once I was sitting with one friend, and he saw the registration, and he made salam. Hey, it turned out to be his wife's friend. No, his friend's wife. So now you see what happens. Now they're driving around everywhere. Now you can't just make salam like this. Now that thing will go in your mind, hey, what if she discusses this with the husband? That's my friend. What's going to happen now? So you can't just make salam to anybody. You see, the caution that you have to exercise. So anything that will cause you to slip, will cause you to fall, to break, to hurt yourself, you just be apprehensive. No matter what business you're doing, you know, it's a true story. It may look like a light-hearted story, but it's a true story. I know about 39 years ago, when I just came, 39, 40 years ago, when I just came, so one person opening up a factory, but a little bit small at that time. Now he's too wealthy, right? But at that time, he was just starting off. So, I mean, he's starting off, so people will send their reps for selling the products. So he came to me and said, hey, Mohammed, you know what, they're sending young girls and all that. And those young girls got mini skirts, they're sitting on the chair like this. So, oh, he's looking at the whole video of this idea, man. He's telling me, his old style is telling me. So he's asking me for advice. So I told him, see, you're buying her or you're buying the product? Make up your mind. So no, I don't want to buy her, I want to buy the product. If you want to buy her, then carry on with this. So what must I do? So no, you phone the company and tell them, see, you want me to buy your product, then you send another rep, not this girl's. Alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah, he just turned the business. That thing just started just going like that. What I've noticed is this illicit relationship, and wealth has got a relationship. You know, illicit. Anything illicit. Small or big. But it's definitely going to cause your whole business to collapse. So don't just get involved in it for one moment also. Because you know where it will take you. Where it will throw you off. You don't know. And which time, how it will throw you. But it will definitely throw you. So one is the eye, and the other is the tongue. And I say in this age, maybe Allah Pak has relaxed everything. But take good care of the eyes. Take good care of the tongue at any given time. Any given time, eyes and tongue. So this is Surah Ahzab, and in Surah Ahzab, the last ruku, right? Well, that's second last ruku. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Fear Allah Ta'ala and speak straight. So Allah Ta'ala didn't say speak the truth. What he said? Speak straight. Because you can be speaking the truth, but you're taking the person in circles. See, you can take the person in circles. So Allah Ta'ala said, speak the truth. So taqwa and the proximity of Allah Ta'ala, righteousness, may be a major task, right? Taqwa now. And then Allah Pak wants you to escalate the ladder of taqwa. He wants you to escalate the escalator of taqwa all the time. That's what he wants. Because he says, Haqqa tuqati, fear me like you ought to fear me. Fear me as much as you can. So he wants you to escalate all the time. Right? Now, to the extent you ought to have taqwa, that you can't imagine. Hey, Allah Pak, His Majesty, His greatness and all that. So Allah said, alright, how much you can? How much you can, you fear me. Now, then taqwa is a great thing. Now, how do you get there? So, who can be more compassionate and loving than Allah Ta'ala? There's nobody as compassionate and as loving as Allah Ta'ala. You try, and Allah Pak will make it happen. But there must be some endeavor, some striving, some effort from your side. You see, this association with the Buzurgan Adin is very great. Very, very great. We don't understand. That association brings about the right understanding. And without the association, then no matter how much you read up, but you can't place things rightly. You don't get the right understanding. In around 1971, there was one person that used to come to Hazrat Ramtali. They used to call him Baremia, right? But what he was like a building foreman. In our terms, like a building foreman, who would take a contract. But now the association, what I'm getting at, the association, and what it does to a person. Man, ordinary person, not a learned person, and for all I care, he may not be too literate also, but he knows how to project manager. He knows how to do it very well. So now, out of the town, say half a kilometer out of the town, there was a whole residential area coming up. And they demarcated an area for the masjid. And they called this Baremia, this old man, that had some association with Hazrat Ramtali. They asked him that he must manage the whole project. Alright. So the townspeople, they told him, Baremia, you come and stay with us. He said, no, I'll stay and I'll live amongst the workers. So he put up his own tin shanty. And although he could manage it to live here, he could manage it easily. But now look at the understanding. You see, when you associate with the Buzurgan Adin with a clean heart, right? So he wants to live with the workers that are Muslims also, obviously, right? But he's following that hadith. Allahumma ahyini miskinaw wa amitni miskinaw wa hshurni fi zumrat al-masakin. You see now how the understanding proves. So if your understanding is that you're sitting with the Buzurgan Adin, but with the right frame of mind, so you'll practice the hadith, but you don't realize that you're practicing the hadith. So the Nabi Sallam's dua was, brother, let me live as a miskin, as a poor person, and let me die amongst the poor, and let me be raised up by the poor, with the poor. So there is a special virtue for the poor, attached to the poor. Let me live with them. Now, if I'm going to live with you people, you're a class of your own, but I won't get the blessings of living with this poor class. How can I get the virtue? There's nothing to be afraid about. They're living decent lives, but they are poor. So it'll be as though I'm living amongst this class. That's all. Nothing else. So what's wrong if I live amongst them? And apart from that, Nabi Sam is advising Aisha radiallahu anha, that Aisha, you have a love for the poor and let them be close to you. Allah Ta'ala will bring you close to Himself. Allah Ta'ala will bring. Sometimes I say, alright, a lot of things we are discounting, right? We are on the right to discount. But at least now, some way, you know, we can also get there. So I say, by one easy way is, take a liking for the poor. Sit with them, call them for the invite. But I don't say everybody now. Now, some people will take you for a ride, you see. What happens now, when you've got too many people that are befriending you, right? Two people say, so now, you took this person that was a poor person, and he also has a poor person as a friend. So I say, by take the friendship, but catch, just leave it as a surface, don't go too deep. Because if you're going to deepen the relationship, then this person is going to become envious of that person, and he will talk something against him, just so that he can secure the relationship with you, and the relationship with him must be severed. So that, and whatever is enjoyed by this person. I ask you, is this a fact or not? Now, I know this happens. So, therefore, the right thing is what the hadith says, أَحْبِبْ حَبِيبَكَ هُونَمْ. Just have a surface relationship. Show love, show respect, let them be close to you. But if you're going to go too deep, that person is going to become envious. When he's going to become envious, he's going to carry tales about him. Or he's going to be hurting him in some way or the other, right? So, you have that relationship so that you are also securing yourself the reward and the virtue of the hadith. Al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba. You love the poor, Allah Pak will join you up with the class. Allah Pak will join you up with the class because you have a love for them. Now look at this person here. See, he's practicing the hadith. He doesn't even realize. But that association, see the association, how it opens a person's mind. Now look at the second level. The same Baremia, not long ago, 71, right? So now, when they cordoned off the area for the masjid, immediately from that point with the cordoned off, right, still bare land. From that day straight away, he started calling azan and making namaz in that open spot. Again, you see. Now it's cordoned off, it's already cordoned off that this is going to be the masjid. So it's a masjid now. So the masjid doesn't have to be a structure to be called a masjid. I must call the adhan, I must do the namaz myself here. See that? See this barakat of association, how it opens your mind. And I said, no man, you have to have a masjid, grand opening, you have to have a big jalsa, feed the people and call them. They're all secondary things. The main thing by the function of the masjid, is it functioning? Look at that. Now this person got the association and see how his brain is working. He wasn't in a formal madrasa, but the barakat of the association, what he did, he just turned his mind around. See that? But the masjid, it's already masjid now, I must start off namaz. And then few people began to join him. Now, look at the third thing in his life. Then he's got one Hindu worker. It's alright, you don't have a place to stay, I've got two rooms here. I'll take one room, you take the other room. He's showing him all the kindness, and he's telling him, "Bhai, see, you are a Hindu, I'm Muslim. I will not hurt you in any way. You need any assistance, I will assist you. But you do your thing, and you don't influence me, I will not influence you. See, I will do my thing. Whatever my Islam tells me, I will do it. You want any dini counsel, I will not deprive you. But you will not influence me, I will not influence you. I will do my own thing, you do your own thing." See that? Now, we get into a culture, right? We are Muslim minority. We get into a culture, and the next thing, we're wearing jeans, t-shirts. I ask you, are we getting consumed or not? Or we are impressing others? Are we getting eaten up? Or are we eating? So we will do business, etc. But we will not allow a foreign and an alien culture to overwhelm us. So as though we're saying, oh, this clothing is not the right clothing. That is a better clothing. Because if you're going to a function and you're wearing that clothing, that means you're trying to show that this clothing that I'm wearing is not the better clothing. So you're being overwhelmed by an alien culture. Is that right? So this man says, "Bhai, you do your own thing. If you want any deen advice, I will advise you, but you will not influence me." He kept it clear. See now this old man and how he's reasoning. Now the third thing, look at this old man. See this association. You know, say you're reading up, but when you don't have that association, you can't reason, you can't think right. Now that association again. Now, he sets up his alarm. You know the old clock, and you set up the alarm. For Fajr namaz, he sets up the alarm. As he gets up for Fajr namaz, straight away he's keying it for Zohar. And as he's getting up for Zohar, straight away he's keying his clock for Asr. Now, look at the hadith. He's practicing a lot of hadith, this Chachaya. Just because of the association. See, the hadith says, Nabi Sallam is asking in his dream, فِيمَ يَخْتَسِمُ الْمَلَوُ الْعَلَى. Someone is asking, perhaps Nabi Sallam, you know, the malaika, higher ranking malaika, what they competing? What they competing for? You know, they want to take the deeds before Allah Ta'ala and present it, you know. And all of us want the better things here, the better things to, if I offer you an old Corolla, right, and a new Merc, what do you take? All of us will want the better things in this world. So, the malaika, what are they competing with each other? See, simple things. I'm talking of simple things and we can all practice it. So, three works. And this chacha is doing, he doesn't know the hadith, but how he's practicing, that's a shocking thing. He's associating for, say, some years and see now. So, he's practicing the hadith, intizaru salati ba'da salah. One namaz finished, I'm waiting for the next one. Next one finished, I'm waiting for the third one. See, simple man, but he's practicing the hadith. But barakat of association. Right. See that barakat of association. Hadith explains about three things. One is isbaghul wudu al-makari. To do the wudu, even though you're finding it a little bit difficult because of weather conditions, cold or hot, but you're doing it properly. Right. And kasratul khuta ila al-masajid. And now he kept his home right near the masjid, so I can go and come or come, go and come. So he's practicing, I suppose, all the three things in the hadith. But you see how this man has laid out his life. Now, a few days into time, and one stray dog comes along, right? And now, the man is so kind, old man, foreman, an old man, he throws some scraps. Whatever, a little bit of piece of meat or whatever. That thing became too familiar. Now it's looking after the whole place. In the meanwhile, that Hindu that he kept, that person on a Saturday night perhaps, he had to go for some function. And now this Baremya is all by himself. He is all by himself, and he had thick, very thick lenses, couldn't see well. So now, to sustain that project, they had to have water, had cement, all that. So they dug up a well, deep well, about 30 meters deep. And the thing is filling up with water. So now, that Baremya is walking all in the dark. I don't know if you see in India, not a moonlight night in the 70s. Absolutely dark. You can't see anything. As it is, he's wearing very thick lenses, and it's pitch dark. This man is walking, he's lucky, he fell right in. The man said, he says, Baremya is saying, I thought I'm born now. But anyway, I don't know if you've seen the old wells. Old well will have like a brick jutting out on the sides. On the wall of the well, on the inside, you'll have a brick. Say about 5 meters, 3 meters, you'll have a wall. You'll have a brick jutting out. So he found that brick and he came up. So with a lot of struggle, I came up, but just still here, the water is still here. In the meantime, I brought myself up here and I heard the alarm ringing in my room. In that very state, you see that I'm talking about this association with the Buzurgana Deen, what he does to the person. In that very state, the water is right till here. He made his wuzu and he's performing his namaz in that state. In that very state, he's performing his namaz. See, I see everything that Chacha was doing, just that he didn't have a certificate that he's an alim or a buzurug or something. But he was doing everything that was in the hadith. Everything that was in the hadith, he was doing it, right? Now he showed that kindness to the dog. Now see, that dog, that thing sensed that this Chacha is inside. So it's going to the wall, it's going to the well, it's barking there. Going to the roadside, it's barking there. Going to the roadside, barking. Coming to the well, it's barking. In the meanwhile, at about 12 o'clock, this Hindu Chacha, he comes in. When he pulled in, so that dog is now left the road, is barking towards him and the well. The Chacha and the well. So now this Hindu, he opened the door. You see, the Chacha is not around. And you see, the dog is barking towards the well now. Something, some connection. So he went there and he called out. So the Chacha responded. See that? You see that? You know, most people will go to Jannat because of kindness, number one. Right? According to Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, because of kindness, some action of kindness. Like you look at a lot of hadiths. Why he went Jannat? Because of some act of kindness. Gave a thirsty dog some water, he earned his Jannat. He forgave someone, Allah gave him his Jannat. He covered someone's mistake, Allah gave him his Jannat. Right? So most people will go to Jannat because of kindness. Right? Kindness, number one. Or respecting some symbol of deen. Something of deen, a masjid or something. You showed you had an esteem, respect, regards for that. So most people that will enter into Jannat is because of that. Right? Now you see that ihsan that you did to someone, the rewards of it, the returns of it, is not enjoyed only in the hereafter. Allah is not like that. He postpones all the rewards only for the hereafter. No, some of it you get it here. The prosperity that you see in your life, your children, your business, many times it is on account of the kindness that you show. You think it's your hard work, your brains. No, bye. Not your brain, your hard work. It's the good that you did. And Allah Ta'ala, apart from the reward of the hereafter, He sees you right. Allah is not like that. He only postpone everything for the hereafter, give you nothing here. He gives you here, but small. And He can't give you the reward of the hereafter here. Because the world cannot, it doesn't have the capacity. The world doesn't have the capacity to contain Jannat. Imagine Jannat now, the enjoyment of Jannat is such, okay, one smallest Jannati, his Jannat is 10 times this world here. So I ask you, this world, has it got the capacity to contain Jannat? So he give you a fraction here, but the main reward is coming there. See? So you see, that kindness, it helped him here. Inshallah, it will help him there. But what I'm showing you, I have to relate this story here, just to show you that what that association does. You see, now what we are doing now is we we are going into reading, right? Reading, researching. I don't say don't do that. For the person that is capable, he must research. But more than that, more important than just researching, is the association. The association will show you exactly how to fit the hadith in which place. See, it's chacha here now. Just association, and that was Haraji Rahmatullah Alayhi. And you won't say it was a very, very great buzruk. But he's practicing the hadith. All the hadith he's practicing. Everything he's doing. He's reading the hadith. He's helping this person out. And he's calling azan. He's doing namaz. Straight away he started namaz in that place. And not fearing anything. See? So what is he doing? This association with the buzurgan adin and brings about that level of understanding that you apply it. And I'm sure he won't even realize that he's practiced so much of hadith. There's one incident here, I think about 20 hadiths he practiced. Intizaru salati, ba'd as-salah. He's just waiting for the next namaz to come. And the third namaz, and the fourth namaz. How did it come? How did it come out? So this verse of the Quran Sharif, ittaqullaha waqulu qawlan sadida. Fear Allah Ta'ala, that's the first ayat. Right? When we talk of fear, it doesn't mean like you fear Allah Ta'ala, like how you fear a carnivorous animal, you know. No tikana, I think, God. You know when that thing will act, how it will act, you don't know. You fear Allah Ta'ala because of His extreme greatness, esteem and greatness, majesty, His greatness. So you respect Him because of that. Because of the esteem that you hold Him in, therefore you will not do anything that will amount to His disobedience. Why? Because of the esteem, highness that you hold Allah Ta'ala in. Like I ask you, if your parents were here, would you do anything to defy them, to disrespect them, or to displease them? But at the time that they are old, are you really afraid of them? Not afraid of them, but on account of the esteem, highness, respect, and majesty that you hold your parents, you don't want to do anything that will upset them. Keep them happy, my parents, whatever it is, I need to show respect. And I can't do anything that will hurt their hearts, hurt their feelings, especially in the old age, I can't do it. So then, when you have got that esteem and that respect for your parents, what amount of respect and esteem you need to have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that fear, that is that regard that is called taqwa. See? So you have the taqwa now. At that level, that becomes a barrier between you and his transgression, between you and his disobedience, between you and any type of defiance. Allah, how can I disobey him? How can I disregard him? How can I do this? So you hold him in that level of esteem.